Blog Talk Radio.
Immediately when I started to take a look at the amount of intervention, let's say, that happened in our human history, and I was channeling this and remote viewing these ancient human history timelines, I was pissed. I was so angry. I'm like, what? No way. Like, that's not okay. Like, they can't just do that. Now, granted, we did evolve. So I went to the Galactic Federation, this is like 10 years ago, and I'm like, yo, guys, come on. Like, you have all these resources, you have all of this technology, and you didn't stop them from making us slaves for how many years? Hundreds of thousands of years? Like, what? And they always laugh at me when I get upset because it's a very human reaction, right? Like, it's like my human coming through. Yeah. And they explained to me, they said, we've been aware of every different species, civilization, being to manipulate Earth or manipulate human beings, whether it be in a physical way, energetic way. And they said, we only allow what is contracted to happen. And essentially, okay, by saying that, they implied that everything that took place with the Anunnaki was contracted to happen because what did they do? They evolved us hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years, in a matter of a short period of time. And yes, they taught us math. They taught us astrology, astronomy. They taught us sacred geometry. You know, they gave us art. They gave us a lot of stuff. And there was a really interesting point in the evolution when they were working with human beings, and they were very hesitant to allow this like species that they created.
Hello?
Okay, let's do this then, since we're coming back into a live show.
I connected to Thorhan, and he showed me that he was on the Nibiru ship taking care of an operation of...
Jesus, I believe his soul was an ascended master, and the bloodline of the body was very Palladian. So he kind of had that mix of both. And then, of course, his teachings got extremely skewed further down the line. The one time I connected with Jesus as an ascended master, just in my meditation, I didn't expect it. And, you know, his purpose to bring to planet Earth, to incarnate here, was to embody absolute unconditional love. And with that embodiment, and unconditional love isn't like, I love you unconditionally. It's not that romanticized bullshit, honestly. It's a vibrational frequency that is of...
One second. What was that? What did you say?
There was another video that I was hearing from you that was going on.
I know. I got everything all messed up. But anyway, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that puts us on the system. See, there are about five ways to get into the system, and I'm just trying to work out. I have a new computer, so here I am. So if you can hear me, then we are ready for people to listen to us, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay. Let me go back to the answers. What I was playing was something, and you might want to address this for a minute and a half, and then we can come in by you. This is April, and Elizabeth April. Remember I said, have you heard anything about Elizabeth April?
I don't recall that name. I think you mentioned it to me yesterday.
Let me just play something. She talks about Jesus, and you also talked about Jesus and being in touch with that entity, with that energy. Is that what you said at one point?
Yes, the Christ energy.
Okay, one second. Let me play this by her, then we can address what she has to say.
Jesus, I believe his soul was an ascended master, and the bloodline of the body was very Palladian. So he kind of had that mix of both. And then, of course, his teachings got extremely skewed further down the line. The one time I connected with Jesus as an ascended master, just in my meditation. I didn't expect it. And, you know, his purpose to bring to planet Earth, to incarnate here, was to embody absolute unconditional love. And with that embodiment, and unconditional love isn't like, I love you unconditionally. It's not that romanticized bullshit, honestly. It's a vibrational frequency that is of the highest vibration. Mm-hmm. And in that frequency, that's where you can turn water into wine. That's where you can create fish out of nothing. That's where you can walk on water, because he was essentially defying the laws of physics while he was around, simply because he was in a much, much higher vibration. And I believe, and what he was trying to teach us all, is that we can all embody that vibration, and we can all defy the laws of physics, classical physics. Like, for example, if I wanted to stick my hand through this wall, I could in this highest vibration, you know, and I believe that that's possible. So that's kind of what he was here to show us all.
Okay. Any comment on that?
I agree with what she's saying. Yeah, I agree that, you know, of course, we were not ready, and we're still not ready. We're not ready for the truth of his message. Like he was, like she was saying, he was not here to be anybody's savior. He was here to tell us that he and us are one. We are all God or divine dimensional consciousness having a human experience. For the sake of experiencing what it's like to be in a physical body, because there is no drama in the fifth dimension. Everything is, there's only one energy, and that's divine light, divine love. And of course, there's no materiality. So yes, what we see as miracles are not miracles.
I see.
It's just being in a higher frequency, a higher vibration.
Uh-huh.
But we saw him do this, and we thought it was wondrous, and we still maintain that he is somebody who's going to save us, and he's not. We are our own saviors.
Okay.
We just have to remember who we are.
I see. How do we – in John 14, 12, I believe it's 14, 12, he said that all the things I do, you can do and more.
Exactly, but nobody understood it.
Okay, what did he? Okay, you can you explain it to us? What exactly that he was talking about? Help us.
He was telling us. He was basically telling us that we are all one. We are all the same. We are all consciousness, vibrating at a different frequency, and he was vibrating at a very high frequency. But he was still, we are still all one, but he knew who he was. He knew that he was divine. And he was trying to tell us that we too are divine and that we too can do everything that he can do and even more.
Nice.
But we were stuck in the matrix, in the physical body and in the ego, and which is designed to be in control. It has a need to win. It has a need to be right. And that's where it's we're in the plane of separation, the third dimension. Jesus was vibrating at the fifth dimension.
So will we be able to get to the fifth dimension one day? You know, what do we need to do?
It's not going to be done for us. We have to do our own work. In other words, the journey, like I said before, there's the Christ and the Antichrist, and we are both of them.
I see.
We are our Savior, and we can use that energy to our own demise.
All right.
And the demise is basically the Antichrist, which in the end, and I'm not saying the ego is bad, it does a number of things for us. It helps us to create. It's basically governed by the left brain, which is rational. So it helps us to learn to talk and walk and build things and learn language. So we need that masculine energy. The Anunnaki thrived on it. They did not come from their heart. They came strictly from their intellect. So Yes, they were great teachers, and they helped us a great deal, but they still wanted to control us. So they basically left the God gene out of our DNA intentionally so that we would not remember or know who and what we are. Now, one of the fifth dimensional consciousness, and it could have been the Pleiadians, could have been the Arcturians, it really doesn't matter. They looked at the experiment at what the Anunnaki had done, and they said, no, 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 you have to put the God gene in there. You can do your experiment, but you have to place the God gene in there. Well, the Anunnaki, being the tricksters that they are, they put the God gene in the human DNA, but they did not activate it.
Okay, so how do we get it activated?
Basically activated now, because we are beginning to wake up and remember that we are more than our five physical senses that are governed by the ego. And the ego basically knows only one energy, and that's fear. And we know that the ego is basically not real. It's something that was created in the Matrix for us to basically live our lives in a functional manner. But we're beyond that right now. We've evolved past that, and we're beginning to remember and to wake up that, hey, I am more than what my brain is telling me. And I know that there's more to life than this friggin' merry-go-round that we go through incarnation after incarnation after incarnation, and I'm tired of it. I want to know who I am.
Right.
And that can only be attained not from the intellect. And that's what the Anunnaki revered, was their intellect.
Okay. They didn't want us to have the God energy in us. Is that what you're saying?
They did not want us to have the God energy in us, because that would take away their control eventually.
But aren't they back now with some degree of sorrow that
yeah.
happened?
I believe that they realized that they made a mistake, but from my understanding, and Terry Kay says it very, very beautifully when she talks about the Anunnaki and the reptilians.
What is her name?
And she has met both of them.
Who's this? Carrie, K-E-R-R-Y, Carrie Kay?
Yes.
And that K is just a K, right? It's not K-A-Y.
Yeah, it's her initial of her last name.
You know her well?
No, I don't know her well at all. I listen to her videos, and I decipher what I resonate with on my own soul level and what she's saying, and I resonate with basically all of it. A lot of the stuff that she says, I don't really understand. I don't function at her frequency. But I trust her.
Okay. What frequency is she operating on then, if you say you don't understand?
I really don't know, because I don't understand. I would imagine that she's very close to fifth dimensional.
I see. So you are operating then in this incarnation on the third dimension?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, basically, we all are. Yeah.
Okay.
Our egos are pretty much in control 24/7.
All right. So, this is not the first time that you've been in a body on this planet, yes or no?
No, this is not my first rodeo. I've been incarnating for thousands of years, as most of us have.
But why? But why haven't you gone beyond the third dimension if you have been here thousands and thousands? You keep doing the same thing over and over again?
Yeah, we all do, basically, because we're stuck in that third-dimensional matrix. We've been stuck in it since our creation, and this was thousands and thousands of years ago.
Okay.
We've been stuck in it.
But may I say this? In my opinion, and I've been here for a minute or two, I'm just a little older than you, if you were about 10 years older than you, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know about being here before. I don't remember ever being here, being on this planet ever. I might have.
You're not supposed to.
I'm sorry?
You're not supposed to.
I see.
As soon as the soul leaves the body, as soon as Carolyn or Russell or anybody leaves their body, they go up to their soul consciousness, and or they don't even have to go that high. But basically, they take a look, and it happens in a flash because at that time, the soul is in the quantum field. It's always in the quantum field where there is no space or time. Everything is the now. And so we can get a bird's eye view that happens in a matter of a second if you want to put time on it. And we can see a complete review of our entire life as Carolyn or Russell.
Uh-huh.
And we are never, ever judged because there's only divine love. We're never judged for our actions, our thoughts, or anything we do. But what does happen is that there are lessons that we still need to work on and still need to learn. And so on a soul level, whether it be pride, whether it be a lack of self-worthiness, which we all have to one degree or another, arrogance, narcissism, not being good enough, feeling less than, not having any self-confidence, and all of this is basically contained in the ego. And the ego's job is to keep us in a state of, let's say, fear.
Uh-huh.
So, lack of abundance, greed, pride, control, nation versus nation. And so we basically are stuck. We have been stuck in the matrix. It's not our fault.
Okay. So, but we keep... But is it your fault? Well, no, I'm a little confused. You're saying coming to this third dimension, being incarnated on Earth in a body.
Right.
You come here, lack of self-esteem, self-image, lack of self-control, direction, etc. Can't remember anything, and you come with the greed and the jealousy and the hate and the envy and all that. We come to this planet like that?
As soon as we die, we incarnate and say, okay, I really had quite a bit of pride and I really wanted to be in control of everything. And I realized that I hurt a number of people. And so I want to experience what it's like to be humble.
Okay.
Instead of being having the need to win, to be right, to be in control, which all of us have. We're human, you know. It's our natural makeup. But, okay, maybe in me, and which it is, this is truth, I have a need to feel worthy. And this was in part due to the fact that when I was born a lesbian, it was not accepted. I was told, of course, I never plugged into religion, but I was told by society that it was a sin and that it was wrong. And so subconsciously, I adopted a truth that I was not acceptable. I was wrong. And this goes down to a very deep unconscious level, and you can spend lifetimes trying to work that up to the surface so that you can realize that, hey, I am not a lesbian. I am spirit. I am God force energy who chose an incarnation as a lesbian just to see what it would be like. No judgment, no good, no bad, no right, no wrong. However, we have created a man-made, artificial, negative organization called religion.
Right.
And it tells us that it is wrong, it is bad.
Yeah, but if we go down that road, we could stay there forever. But in terms of Protestant and Catholic and Seventh-day Adventist or Muslim or whatever, all religions are created by man.
Every religion on the planet is created by man.
Mormonism, the whole Seventh-day, whatever, Holy Roly, whatever, all was created by some man. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, now.
Yes.
Put that aside, but that keeps us in the matrix. And some people say the basis of all the religions happen to be fear of death, the right to murder, and sexual suppression.
Right.
Okay, so let's put all that aside and say, let's say we escape that, right? Since we keep coming here 1,000 times over and over again, why don't we put all that aside and try to find another road of independence and living? Is that possible?
That's what we're calling the process of ascension, and that's what humanity is doing right now. Because you grow to a point, and we're all evolving. We're just quite slow at it. But the human is very slowly evolving to the point that we're growing not out of the matrix, but we're still in the matrix, but realizing that we're in the matrix and realizing that it is not real, that it is meant to control us.
Okay.
And we are beginning to realize, no, I am more than what everybody has taught me and that what I have adopted as truth. That is not correct. That is not divine. It's out of the divine frequency.
Let me ask
it's
you this.
It's man-made frequency.
Let me ask you this way. When I talk to some people who have, I think, so. They have far more insight than I have, right? They can do remote viewing. They can look into the future, and they can tell you what's going to happen to your life 5 years or 10 years from now and all of that, right? Do you know any people like that?
You know, the ones that I know that I really trust in, you have to remember that everything that comes through a medium or a psychic or a remote viewer or whatever you want to call them, it's that knowledge and that sight still has to penetrate their ego,
their perspective on reality. Fine. Let's assume wait a minute. Because we keep saying the ego has us all tied down and encased and enclosed. And held down, if you will, so we can't go to the fourth or fifth dimension. Is that what you're saying about the ego?
Yes, but this is not forever because the ego is not real, and the planet is growing. Earth is growing away from the third dimensional consciousness, which contains the ego.
Okay.
She is evolving out of that into the fifth dimension where there is no ego, and along with it, we are going along with the ride, and it is not easy because we're fighting it.
Okay. Do you see anybody, and I was thinking about Martin Luther King, I'm thinking about Mandela, I'm thinking about others, Mother Teresa, whomever, you can go right down the list, of people who seemingly worked on behalf of humanity to uplift us ethically, morally, economically, socially, psychologically, philosophically. There are some people who have come here to do that. Yes or no?
Yes. Yes.
And are some of those people, could I put Jesus, Krishna, Buddha, Baha'u'llah, Muhammad. Can I put those people in that category?
No. Martin Luther King and, other great people that have come to try to make a change to the planet, they're still third dimensional consciousness.
I see.
They just came here with great intentions, and they stuck to their purpose.
Okay. How about, let's do Jesus and Krishna and Buddha. Do you think they were beyond those three, if I may?
Yes.
Beyond?
Most definitely.
Okay. So they were into the fourth or fifth dimension, being here on this.
The fourth dimension is a bridge between the third and the fifth.
Okay, they were in the
fourth dimension.
They were in the fifth dimension.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And
the fifth dimension is the lowest frequency of divine love. It is the Christ consciousness dimension, and there is the sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth. But it doesn't matter, because once you get to 5D, the only energy that any of them resonate with is divine love.
When you talked about the Palladians, the Arcturians, and others, are some of those individuals in the fifth dimension or beyond?
They're all in the fifth dimension. And beyond. But they don't compare themselves. Yeah, they don't see any separate. There's no separation. Once you get to the fifth dimension, there is no separation. And that's very rare in human form.
Uh-huh.
But that's what we chose now. That's why we are accelerating so quickly right now, because we're accelerating from our third dimensional consciousness. We're still third dimensional beings, but our consciousness is different than a third dimensional being. Jesus is still a third dimensional being, but his consciousness is, it could be the sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth. It doesn't matter, because they don't keep count. They don't care. They just love.
I see.
And they're beyond seeing good, bad, right, wrong.
Okay.
They don't grieve. They don't have sorrow when anything happens down here on Earth, whether it's floods, earthquakes, or not, because they only believe in divine love.
Okay.
And they don't see this as real, because it's not real. It's an illusion.
So as Shakespeare says, the world is a stage. So you believe that all of our experiences in this matrix on a day-by-day living is an imaginative, is an imagination.
Well, we don't see it as an imagination. We see it as very real, because if you were to take a hammer and pound your thumb, you would feel it drastically, and you wouldn't imagine that it happened. You would fucking feel it, and it would be not an illusion to you. It would be a reality. So the third dimensional matrix is real on that low level of vibration. It's real to us. So we feel it. When somebody calls you a slang word, if somebody calls me a fucking queer or whatever, it is going to spark that old, deep-seated feeling that I'm not worthy, and I'm growing out of that quite rapidly.
Well, great.
But it still would be a sting to my ego.
But there's
not
some,
my soul, but to my ego.
But there's some entities, they don't go along with name calling. They just ignore that and go to the issue. There's some of it, some human beings. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Then those individuals are vying for a different position in life. They want to escape this matrix, so to speak, being on this level, and they want to begin to move up. So they're changing themselves.
Yeah, they don't. There's no escaping. You have to experience. You learn and grow upwards in vibration frequency by experiencing pain and suffering, and that's all there is to it. Some people
say
there's no such thing as suffering, but there is. I totally disagree with them.
Okay.
There is suffering.
So you have to go through the birth canal.
Yes.
To the death experience. You have to go through that.
Yep. Yeah, there's no escape.
Okay, but can you incarnate, like I'm looking at the reptilians, some of whom don't come through that process. They lived 1,000, 10,000 years or better, right? Yes?
Yes, some of them, actually, the Arcturians, the Syrians, and a number of them who chose not to come down and participate in the Earth experience, they marvel at our courage to do this because they knew that it would be extremely difficult and painful, and they're in a vibration where why would they want to come down here and do this shit?
Okay.
Why would anybody want to do it?
Okay.
And so they marvel at our courage.
Fine. Let's take you. Are you coming back here through the birth canal? Are you going to be reincarnated here?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
But you say you've been here many, many times. Why would you keep doing this?
Yeah, we all do. I'm getting closer and closer. As we all are, because the planet is raising her consciousness, we're being bombarded by solar flares. We can't help but either grow in consciousness or we will refuse to grow in consciousness. People are refusing to do this, and they will, and this is going to take years and years. Okay, I'm not going to say it's going to take place in 2023 or 2024. They will remain. And Carrie Kay gives a very good video on this. It's called The Shift.
The Shift, okay. I'll watch that.
Yeah, and it basically, some people who are not ready to ascend, they like the drama down here. They like playing this game. They're addicted and attached to this game. They will go off into a fourth dimensional planet, which will be higher in vibration than the third dimension. In other words, there won't be bombs and all this type of shit, but there will be separation. There will be egos. There will be disagreements. There will be pride. There will be stuff, but it will be easier to work through and to grow than the third dimension. They will go off into a fourth-dimensional planet. Now, from my understanding, there are already fourth-dimensional planets that are housing humans now.
Okay. Let me ask you another question since you've gone down that road. Now, with Solar Warden, I guess you know something about my labs.
Who?
And all of that. We have the Secret Space Force that has been operating for the last 50, 60, 70, 80 years, and taking people off this planet, taking them to Mars, Andromeda, or other planets, and even the moon, and even in Antarctica. So there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of people being swept up, taken to those places to put to work in slave labor camps. Is that right?
I don't really plug into that.
You don't?
I'm not going to say it's good, bad, right, or wrong, but no, I would. No, I probably don't.
But when I look at William Tompkins, do you know William Tompkins?
No.
Okay. You might want to punch him up sometimes. William Tompkins, he was here, stayed for 94 years, just left a year or so ago. And he worked with a number of alien entities from the late 30s, like 1938, 1940, up until the time he passed. And they gave him a lot of information, and he helped create spaceships that go to Mars and other places. But you might want to look at the books that he'd have. One book is called Selected by the Extraterrestrials. Okay, let's put him aside. Mm-hmm. Do you know Colonel Corso?
Philip Corso? Like I said, I don't do a lot of intellectual reading.
Okay, all right, no. Yeah, no, he was a person who the day after Roswell, he left that book, but he was in charge of the secret government holding on to all the back engineering of the downed craft and artifacts in many of the bases around the world, but anyway, especially here in the United States. But he wrote a book and left, you know, indicating the things that he was in charge of with the secret space force. Do you believe that there is a secret space force that Truman put together in 1947? The Majestic 12.
The Majestic 12.
Yes.
Yes, I definitely believe that, and it is very dark.
Of course, but they are in charge of taking hundreds of thousands of people when all these people are missing, and they underground, like Dorsey, in the underground bases around the world, and on Mars and other planets. I mean, have you heard of any of that?
I just know of people personally, and have talked to them who have been abducted.
Uh-huh.
It's basically because they are very interested. They don't have physical bodies, and they want to know what it's like to be human. They want to know what it's like to feel and to have drama, and so they tamper with our DNA and they make hybrids. I don't know, and I can't say it's good, bad, right, or wrong. I would basically say that it's not for the best.
Uh-huh.
And I know some people that have. I know of one of my friends in Indiana who was abducted, and the extraterrestrials. Of course, they were the dark ones. I would most likely say the grays. And she was abducted by them, and she was implanted with a fetus that they house in their ships.
Okay.
And she was implanted with that, and she had never had sex in a long time. And when they let her back down, she was pregnant, and she recalls it. And 3 months later, they abducted her again, and they extracted the fetus from her.
Uh-huh.
And let her back down, and she remembers the horror and the pain that she went through. Now, they don't feel pain. They don't know what they're doing because they're not in physical bodies, so they have no idea how much it hurts us.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
So the one of the worst things of abduction is that they don't understand the person's feeling of being abducted, the fear, the trauma.
No.
They don't understand any of it. They don't have emotions. You say the EBEs, they don't have emotions?
The extraterrestrials don't have emotions.
None of whom? None?
Not human emotions.
Okay.
Don't feel anger. They don't feel pain. They don't feel this. They are controlled by a hierarchy of that particular consciousness.
Okay.
They don't have minds of their own.
Okay, let me ask you a quick question.
Those are the lower dimensional ones, not the fifth dimensional ones.
Well let's talk about the reptilians. The reptilians are here, and they have been here for many eons. Is that right?
Thousands and thousands and thousands.
Hundreds of thousands of years, right. And they are still here. Is that right?
Yes, they're becoming smaller and smaller. Like I said before, it's a pretty well-known fact that Queen Elizabeth was a reptilian.
Okay. Well,
now, a full reptilian.
Okay. How about Obama?
I don't believe he was, no.
Well, some people thought he was, but that's all right.
I know they do. Yeah, I don't believe that. I believe that Obama was basically a good man, but he was asleep, which means he was not really on a spiritual path. He was on an egotistical political path.
Okay.
I see that his intentions were good, but once you get into a very dark government, as is the United States, it's very dark.
Okay.
As you get into that dark government, it's almost impossible to do any change.
Okay.
Unless it's for the lower, like Donald Trump did.
Here's the question. So let's say we ran for office. You ran for office. I ran for office. And both of us get in the, go to Congress. We become congresspersons, you know, or senators, either one, right? Once we get there, you either quit or you go along with the program of the rest of them. Is that right? Is that how it works?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. All right. All right. Let me go back to the moon. They said the moon is not a planet. The moon is an observatory. And we're talking.
Yeah.
Right. And we.
The moon is hollow.
It's hollow, right? It's, okay. Let's do this. Here's a person describing their experience on the moon. Just 1 minute, that's all.
That the planet of Earth is not only hollow, but the poles are actually thinned, and there are actually entrances into the inner core at the north and south poles of the Earth. He imagined that there were advanced civilizations living inside the planet.
Ideas of an occupied hollow Earth would be revisited nearly two centuries later in 1947. When famous polar explorer Admiral Richard Byrd flew reconnaissance missions over the North Pole. Byrd allegedly reported in his private journal about a mysterious land beyond the North Pole, which he called the center of the great unknown.
Admiral Richard Byrd was able to fly to the North Pole and back and recorded flying over lush green areas where none should have been. And then 3 years later, he flew over the South Pole.
It's rumored that when Admiral Byrd's task force actually got to Antarctica, that one of the first things they discovered was an entrance into a hollow Earth civilization that was populated by very, very advanced beings.
Admiral Byrd made a lot of unusual statements, including talking about what he called a new kind of craft that could fly from pole to pole. And when Byrd got back to the United States, he was brought back to Washington, where he was questioned very heavily about his statements. And allegedly, he was told to stop talking about this.
Is it possible that entrances to another world can be found at the Earth's poles? And if so, did Admiral Byrd actually pass through one of them?
Okay, so I just wanted to play that clip. So you kind of agree with that real situation?
Totally, totally. As a matter of fact, right here in the United States, Mammoth Cave, I believe it's in Kentucky or Tennessee, is one of the portals to the inner Earth.
I see.
But you have to go deep, 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 deep into Mammoth Cave.
Right. So when we talk about the caves and inner Earth, we can say that they're a group of whatever species, different aliens.
Many species.
Many. So
there's
many.
Arcturian, there's Pleiadian, there's Sirian, there's a number of them, and basically they're fifth-dimensional beings.
Okay, and they live in those caves in the Earth, and in the Earth, is that, that's what you're saying?
Right.
Okay. All right, well, I think we covered a lot, but it's a lot of stuff. Now, on the moon, you're saying that's not a planet, that's an observatory. As a matter of fact,
I was saying that the moon was placed there by extraterrestrial species. It was perfectly placed there to keep balance between the sun and the earth.
Okay.
So the moon is there to keep a perfect balance. Otherwise, if we didn't have the moon, we wouldn't have Earth.
I see.
It wouldn't be able to survive. And there are ships there now on the moon. There are a number of different species with a number of different ships. And when our astronauts went to the moon, they saw these ships,
mm-hmm.
and they were not allowed to talk about them.
Right. Except when Gordon Cooper, I think it was Cooper, came back, he said that he saw about 15 or 20 different ships there, and he saw the reptilians standing under those ships when they got to the moon. And they asked,
yeah, there could be reptilians there also.
Okay, okay. Here's a clip about a young lady who say that she was abducted, taken to the moon, forced to work, and also raped.
Niara Terrell Isley, who worked as a radar tracking officer, said she was snatched by a humanoid with a tail and taken to a secret base on the far side of the moon. While there, she said she was made to have sex with aliens and lift boxes. Ms. Isley told how she worked at the Tonopah Test Range in Nevada, but said she could recall very little detail about her time there. She claimed security guards raped her in front of an audience after she was jabbed in the neck with a mystery drug while in an underground lair. And then she was raped on the moon, she said. Ms. Isley described the bizarre and shocking series of incidents under hypnosis. In taped interviews with Aquarian Radio, she claimed she was taken into space 8 to 10 times over several months when she was 25 years old. She said the aliens put her to work, having her operate electronic machinery to excavate the darkest parts of the moon. Describing how she was used for sex almost every night she was on the moon, she said she was regularly passed between the reptilians. In addition, she said gray aliens were present, helping with the work, as well as human personnel who were also forced to help the reptilians do their bidding on the moon. After the abductions, she said she couldn't remember much of what had happened, including aspects of her work, leading her to think her memory had been wiped. The incident stopped in 1980, she said. She sought hypnosis in an attempt to fill the holes in her memory, and it helped her uncover more details about the abuse she experienced on the moon. Describing her abductor, she said, he was humanoid and did have a tail. She said he had yellow eyes with vertical slit pupils. On the dark side of the moon, she said, there was a lot of sexual abuse. She also said there was excavation work to expand the military base. It was then that she had to carry out manual labor, including moving boxes. Ms. Isley, a mom of one who now lives in Colorado, said, at night I wasn't allowed to sleep and was passed around for more sex. I was scared. I knew I had to get back to my daughter, so I was pretty compliant. I just didn't want to do anything that would get me killed. Many alien conspiracy theories suggest that the U.S. government is in on abductions, often helping the Greys do the work. Theorists claim that is why officials have not fully investigated claims of their own employees and former staff.
So, I guess much of that follows along with your experiences and with the people that you know who have been abducted and impregnated, and they have hybrid children. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, I wouldn't disbelieve anything this woman is saying.
Okay.
You know, I really wouldn't, because it's her experience. That's what she remembers, and there's no reason for me not to believe it, because the reptilians are very dark, darker than the Anunnaki.
Okay.
And they too, like I was saying, it's a pretty well-known fact, Queen Elizabeth was fully reptilian. Now, there's a difference between being a full reptilian, as Queen Elizabeth is, and supposedly that's why Diana was killed, because she saw Elizabeth in her true form. She saw her in her reptilian form.
Some of also claim that. Go ahead.
Yeah, but also the reptilians can also, they have the ability to, I want to say, kind of impose, but most of the people that are imposed are willing anyway, because they vibrate at a low vibration. And let's just say Donald Trump, okay, he could, and I'm not saying that he is,
mm-hmm.
he could be, let's say, a minion, one who is used because he has been infused with some reptilian consciousness. And I'm just using him as an example. He may or may not be, but he certainly has the character traits of being evil. So he could be carrying around reptilian consciousness,
but
which would
okay.
Go ahead.
No, no. Go ahead. Go ahead. Continue.
I'm just saying, and there are a lot of others. There are Hollywood, the entertainment industry.
Certainly. Jay-Z and all those rest of things, some people say.
I've heard that. I don't know that.
I don't know that either. I'm asking a question, that's all.
Yeah, and I don't know that. But some of them are under their – they're not reptilians.
But aren't we since the reptilians were on this planet before the Anunnaki came here 400,000 or 500,000 years ago, isn't this part of the universe theirs too?
It is theirs. Let's just say they are all part of the Archons.
Okay.
Now the Archons, let's call them the holy grail of the lower entities.
Okay.
They're the main directors, the main kings, the Archons. It is not their planet to use and abuse.
I see.
And that's what they do. It is. But they're not capable of living in peace.
Okay, but you were saying all. Some people are saying, I've heard that obviously Jillian despises the reptilians. I don't know, have you ever heard of talk about the reptilians, how diabolical, nefarious, or evil they are? No?
Yeah, a little bit. I haven't known Jillian that long.
Okay, not a problem. But there are some people saying, even though that's true of some, it's not true of all of them. That's what some people are saying. So how do you feel about that statement?
I would think that there's probably a very minute segment of any species that can be positive,
okay,
that could have woken up. That is very small.
Right. But isn't there a possibility, like when Jesus was here, and you know him probably better than most of us, he was saying, he was trying to make peace among all forms and dimensions of people, even if he went into the synagogue and overturned the tables because they were gambling and whatever they were doing. But he performed the miracles and he tried to bring people together. And he would say, when you leave a town or a city or a house and people don't hear you or understand you, just shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. I thought that was a person trying to bridge and bring people together. Did you get that message?
Yes, to the humans, not necessarily the Anunnaki or the reptilians.
Oh, I see.
But to the humans, to mankind, because mankind has the God gene, and it has been activated. And that's why he was telling them that we are all one, and whatever he does, we can do also. But people, and they're the same way now, most of them, but we've graduated a bit in our consciousness compared to back then. We were not awake enough to hear the real message that Jesus was telling the human. Instead, the human wanted a savior that would save them. And so they developed a church that said, if you go and forgive yourselves to Jesus, then you will be forgiven and you're like born again. Well, that, of course, is solid friggin' bullshit.
Okay.
You can never be forgiven of any sin because there's no such thing as sin.
Okay. Forget 90 seconds. We're going a little past that. I'm going to do something. But look, let me play this little clip by, I think it was George Green, Jillian's husband, who was here for many, many years. He left when he was about 81, 82 recently. I think he had this to say
in
about
the
soul energy.
Do we have underground facilities devoted to the extraterrestrial question? And there is evidence for that. The issue of the relationship between extraterrestrials and technology, terrestrial technology, is a very interesting, complex issue. It became a significant matter when Philip Corso, Colonel Philip Corso, wrote his book, Day After Roswell, where he stated matter-of-factly that he was in charge under General Trudeau at the Foreign Technology Desk in trying to sprinkle some of the ideas obtained from examining the Roswell craft.
If we've recovered alien craft and we've back-engineered technology, then we really don't want to put it out that we have this and that we know about it. And sadly, that's a detriment to the advancement of collective human civilization.
Which is to say that if, in fact, the United States government has mastered the ability to tap into ground state fields and is sequestering that technology, it is criminal, because the availability of that technology would transform this planet, save hundreds of millions of lives, and solve a great deal of our most difficult problems. And so every day that the truth embargo continues and that technology is sequestered, people are dying because of it. So in their attitude is, well, yeah, now some people are going to die, but, you know, we still want another 20 years of secrecy. Well, tell that to the people that are suffering. And we know too much now. It's too much out in the open. So now the blood is on their hands. We are paying a fortune for energy. People are dying because they can't afford water, food. We're polluting the environment, killing people with cancer. And they are sitting on transformative energy that might be 1 cent on the dollar. Plus, we have evidence that we have in fact, reverse-engineered anachronistic propulsion, and we have our own saucers.
Okay, I'm sorry, I played the wrong one, but now that we played that, do you understand that, do you know anything about Dr. Greer, Dr. Stephen Greer, Project Disclosure?
I heard a little bit about him, but the video, and I don't have much time myself, but the
sure.
video that I just heard, yes, I totally agree with that. Like I said before, I know personally the woman that saw the Greys go straight into the Pentagon.
Oh.
So our government has been working with the Greys for decades.
Okay.
And for the sole purpose, and this is the most important part of it, for the sole purpose of helping us to advance our technology.
Well, they are,
but not for the well-being of the human, because there is a saying, and it's true, and this is why they are doing it. They have a very, well, you can call it the New World Order, the Illuminati, the Cabal. It's all one big family that is controlling the planet.
Right.
And that particular, when we advance our technology to that degree, which they want us to, any time a species, and we're talking about the human species right now, any time the human species technology advances their spirituality, we will be destroyed. We will destroy ourselves. And that's what we're in the middle of doing right now, is the sixth extinction period, because we are growing too fast. With our cellular devices, with our everything else that helps us, this virtual reality has a sole purpose to it, and that is to prevent us from emotional intimacy with other people.
I see.
And that is how we grow as a species. We become vulnerable emotionally, and we connect with each other, and we get to the point of love, because whenever you open yourself up to be vulnerable with your own weaknesses and your own fears with another person who is there too and can resonate with you, it does nothing but to advance you spiritually. And this is what virtual reality, what do you call them?
You're talking about AI?
Yes, AI. That's exactly the basic agenda of AI, is to keep us in a dumbed-down state of mind so that we do not ascend to the fifth dimension. So these species that are helping us to advance technologically have one purpose in mind, and that is to control us.
I see.
But it will not work because we, in fact, are God consciousness having a human experience. And we will destroy the human part of us if we quit, if we continue fucking around and refuse to change and grow up and quit running around the planet with dirty diapers, firing off AK-74 rifles.
Okay.
And that's what we are doing right now.
Okay. That's part of what's happening, yes. We all can, I think, agree that the conflict between night and day, good and bad, the cabal, the evil, the people nefarious and uncaring and all that, yes, that's happening. But isn't there a chance, as people work with us, that we can overcome and be, and as you indicated, go from the third to the fifth dimension? Isn't that a chance that human beings?
Yes, there is a chance. Yeah, and it's happening right now. And you're seeing people that are beginning to wake up. I myself am beginning to wake up.
I see.
And you're beginning to wake up. You're seeing what you are in and how you are controlled and how you've been discriminated against and how it hurts and how it makes you angry. But you're beginning to see that this was the exact plan of the Anunnaki. And I might be making Jill a little pissed off, but I will say it. That was their plan, to keep us controlled by the energy of fear and anger and hatred and greed and all of this shit that we're going through now. And that's the plan, because they feed off of fear. They don't have another life force energy to feed off, because they cut themselves off from divine source creator. They cut themselves off. So the only food that they can feed off is our fear. And we are feeding them very well.
Okay. Okay. But in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, isn't that some big changes coming along? Do you see any change, dramatic changes that will help us?
I do, Russell, but I believe it'll happen in this way. I believe that those people that don't want to change and they want to remain the same, they will, it's like in the Bible it says, you know, two people go to bed, one wakes up and the other is gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's just another way of saying that we will be chosen by the consciousness we resonate with. If we resonate with more of a fifth dimensional consciousness and do our inner work, like I said, there's only one Armageddon, and that's the Armageddon within, between the Christ of us and the ego of us. And when we learn to tame and dismantle the ego, we are on our way to the fifth dimension. If we allow our ego to run the show of control, corruption, greed, and all this other bullshit, we will wake up, and we won't even know this, because it's not a punishment. There is no good, bad, right, or wrong. There's just a choice, what we choose, and we choose whatever our vibration frequency is. So if it's of lower vibrational frequency, we will go off to a fourth dimensional planet. There will be no atomic weapons, but we will still have a planet of separation. There will still be good, bad, right, and wrong, and there will still be arguments, and there will not be any inner peace. We will still have to learn to go inside of ourselves to discover that we are the answer. We've been the answer all along. And what we're doing now is we are remembering. That's what ascension is all about, is remembering through doing your inner work and not playing the blame or the victim, but doing your inner work. And that is what is going to be, that is of enlightenment. Then we raise our consciousness to a frequency of fifth dimension, and that is the point of enlightenment. And that takes thousands of incarnations, but we are at the point where the third dimension is done. It is finished. It is complete. We are now just suffering from a third dimensional hangover. And that hangover can go on for I don't know how many years. 1, 2, 3. But when the cosmos says enough is enough, that's where I imagine the great solar flare will come, and those that want to ascend and have done the work will go off to will remain here on Earth, and Earth will be wiped out totally clean. It will be a beautiful planet like it once was. The others will go to a 4D planet where there will be disruption, distraction, attachments, addictions, and all this other bullshit that they are going to have to work through until they get sick and tired of doing it. Now, some people have said that this ascension is a time, and if we don't ascend in this particular time frame, and I don't know what it is, I may or may not make it myself. I'm pretty attached to my ego. Knowledge is not that great. Wisdom is where we want to get to. That's when we practice what we know. I know quite a bit. There's thousands that know more than I do. I have some understanding of what I know, but I'm lacking in wisdom. I don't necessarily practice what I preach. I'm trying to every day by catching my ego-filled thoughts and saying, okay, this is not the thought that I want to continue doing. I do beat up on myself, and that's where, if you want to say there's such a thing as sin, which is self-inflicted nonsense, I inflict that on myself by judging myself, by beating up on myself, rather than observing it, observing the ego running its very slick show, and I say on a higher level, okay, this is something that I'm still working on, and I realize it's still part of me, and I realize I still have to work on it, and I will let it go. And that crack, when I let it go, allows more light to come into my physical being. You see what I'm saying? The divine light. And then I grow in consciousness. That is the only way. There is no other way. That was the human plan.
But in terms of looking at materials, if I may, Jillian has read a book called Saving Jesus by Michael Ledwith. I think it's about 700 or 800 pages. You might want to get that. But she said that helped her to look at life a little bit differently. And she's 85 now, so about, you know, and having some lot of difficulties in terms of health. So.
Right, I understand. I know we've commiserated about our misery.
Okay.
I enjoy her. I like her.
Oh, great. And I really appreciate you being on, because she didn't feel like talking today or yesterday. But so I appreciate you coming to the fore, because it's about what you can give us based on your growth, your development, your incarnations, your insight. And then certainly I checked with people today who I really respect, and they really said you're the real deal in terms of the information that you have and that you, the things that you want to share with us. So I really appreciate that. You mentioned, as before you go, I don't want to keep you, and we can always do this another day, tomorrow, the next day, but you mentioned a Curry K. Could you reference to the people who may be listening why it's important to listen to Kerry, K-E-R-R-Y-K?
Yes, because like what I was saying, she was born with born into a higher frequency, still third dimension.
Okay.
But she had a pretty big purpose to play here. And she did it by, like Eckhart Tolle, had to go through a great amount of suffering. Eckhart tried to commit suicide 3 times.
Oh, wow.
And so he had it very rough. Enlightenment does not come easy. It didn't come easy for Jesus. It doesn't come easy for any master or anybody that is trying to attain fifth-dimensional consciousness. We go through a great deal of testing and suffering and everything else. We have to earn that by going within and dismantling the ego that's trying to control us. Now, I'm sorry, what was your question?
Well, I was saying, Carrie Kay, you had mentioned Carrie Kay, and I always like to give people some information beyond listening to what we say to other people that you respect and like and want people to listen. Why do you want people to listen to Carrie Kay? That's K-E-R-R-Y, and then the initial K-Y. What's about her that people should pay attention to? The people who are trying.
There are a lot of channelers out there, and I'm not dissing on them, okay?
Sure.
But Carrie Kay is the true, real deal. And what I mean by that is that when I told you before that from the age of birth to around when she was like around 13 years old, she was in and out of near-death experiences.
Right.
And because she had severe life-threatening asthma. And during that time, she spent her time when she was unconscious, near-death experience, she spent her time with the Galactic Federation. And she was taught a great deal of information, a great deal. And that's a lot of years that she spent time with them. And her purpose was to come back to Earth when her health, she's still taking asthma medication.
Wow.
But she came here, and it took her a while to process all of this information that she was given by the Galactics. And she just calls them the Galactic Federation. She doesn't necessarily go into all of the different consciousness groups like the Arcturians, the whatever. She just calls them the Galactic Federation of Light or the Galactic Federation. But it takes the human body, the human mind, the human heart, basically, to embody that information. And it was her job, basically. She was born a very shy person, didn't like to be around people. This was the last thing that she had ever intended for herself, and boom, this was her mission.
Wow.
And she gladly accepted it. And so she does, this is what she does.
Okay.
She gives, she keeps us, and I would strongly advise Carrie Kay. And she also talks about the great shift, what it is. She talks fast because she gets it straight from her higher self, and her higher self speaks very rapidly.
Right.
So she can't really slow down. But her videos are the real deal. She talks about everything.
Well, is it?
And as does Lori Ladd. And Feel Good.
Okay.
And Alexander Quinn is another one that I gave you, too. I zipped that. You might just listen to Lori, the first one I gave you by Lori Ladd. You might listen to that. She's making a tour of her Divine Design book that was channeled by the Galactic Federation to her. And so she's going on. Listen to that, and you'll just thumbnail sketch of Lori Ladd.
Okay, great. And you said Alexander Quinn.
Yeah, Q-U-I-N-N or Q-U-I-N.
Uh-huh.
And he also does a double one with Linda something good. And she's basically not from Earth.
Wow. Well, you have a lot of good sources. That's good. So, I mean, I could keep you all day long, but I mean, we passed the hour, and I didn't want to.
Yeah.
Do that to people, because we can do it another day. Let's try another day, maybe tomorrow.
Yeah,
next
most
day.
Definitely, yeah. And it takes my energy too, because
I know it does.
I do suffer from chronic fatigue and chronic pain.
Oh, I'm
so
right.
But I'm glad to do this.
But we really appreciate it. We really honestly appreciate you taking time out to pass on that information. And so in closing, I just want to thank you for being with us, and I wish you the best and a happy day, and we'll do it another time.
Well, same to you, Russell, and I appreciate you for contacting me and giving me the voice to say what I know, because where I live here, people are very, very asleep.
Right.
And chances are they're not on any ascension path, and it doesn't concern them. They're not being affected by any of the energies. They're perfectly happy and content and fine.
Right, right. So, Carolyn, your last name is F-O-P-P?
Yeah.
Yeah, how do you pronounce that?
And Paul, P-P. Yeah.
Okay, Carolyn. Thanks, Carolyn. Thanks for being with us. Thank you for being on Blog Talk Radio.
You're very welcome, Russell. Thank you for having me.
Okay, have a good evening now. Thank you now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.